Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is another hour of Sports Daily. We are happy to be with you, and we are happy to give you an opportunity right now to win some HTO. All you got to do is text the keyword T to 20357. And you'll win a free iced tea and a free coffee iced or hot drink from HTO, either Wichita location or in Derby. Again, that's T to 20357. Get in there, check it out. Good luck, everybody. You can enter once a day, and message and data rates apply. We come back into another hour, and we're going to talk some Kansas City Chiefs getting ready for another Super Bowl, their third straight trip, their fourth and five years, whatever it is. Tommy, this is good news. Andy Reid gets on the podium. He's been on this morning, and he has no new injuries to report. We haven't talked a lot about injuries because I don't think there really are any. Like, these teams are healthy, which is meaningful, significant, right? In the Chiefs' case, they haven't really been until the last month totally healthy, and they are now. And I do think that makes it a little bit unpredictable if you're the Eagles trying to stop them. Like, what are they going to do? Last week, it was couple of big Juju Smith-Schuster plays. I think it was Dan Israel who said, I think we forgot he was even on the roster. Totally forgot he was on the roster. Like what wasn't registering for me anywhere. I'm like, all right, they got Hollywood and they got Worthy and they got DeAndre Hopkins and they've got Nico Remigio's making an impact now in special teams. It's like, oh yeah. Remember when they went and added Juju Smith-Schuster and he really did help them win a couple of games this year? Oh yeah. There's that
guy. I
mean,
he helped them in the AFC Championship game. I mean, the opening drive against the Bills. I mean, there were a couple big catches from Juju.
You know who the guy is now that we're forgetting about? Like, who has the best opportunity to be the Juju of this game?
If you say Sky Moore, I'm going
to... Well, is he on the roster?
Well, no. I think they activated him from injured reserve, but I don't think he's going to play.
No, that's not it. This is a serious segment here. Noah Gray. Noah Gray is the guy, I think. As the Eagles play a lot of nickel, that's what they want to do. You can, I believe, coaches, football coaches out there can correct me if I'm wrong. I believe you can attack nickel defense with tight ends. Extra corners attack with tight ends. And I think that, you know, there was very much a time this year with the multiple tight end thing working for Kansas City. We're all focused on Kelce, rightfully so. He's sort of unlocking a little bit now. And these receivers being healthy, I kind of feel like there's going to be some Noah Gray opportunities in this game. And it just as we're watching no injuries and thinking about all of these pieces the Chiefs have, trying to think about ways to bet the game, I have not. And you will not believe this, but it's 100% true. I have not looked at betting stuff like at all yet. I'm saving all of that, and I'm going to like go on the attack for that on Saturday. But that might be one that I'm looking at as an opportunity because I think he's being forgotten about a little bit. And I do think stylistically it's a matchup that favors the Chiefs tight ends to some degree.
I mean, I'm really looking forward to the matchup between whether it's Travis Kelce and Noah Gray versus Cooper DeJean, because what DeJean's been able to do in that Eagles defense. I mean, I think that that would be, at least in my opinion, I think that would be the guy. Wouldn't you agree that the Eagles would deploy to try to stop?
They don't want to take him off the field.
For sure don't. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that like that's going to be one of the more intriguing matchups, I think, in this game, because you can look at the Eagles have a pretty solid secondary. Like, their corners are pretty good. And so, yeah, like, it's going to just be the common answer to say, well, watch their corners against the wideouts for Kansas City. And that's all true. But I think even beyond that, like, if you're looking at potentially Cooper DeJean covering Travis Kelce or, you know, Noah Gray, seeing the way that the Chiefs try to get the ball to those tight ends and then how the Eagles respond to that.
So listen to these numbers here for the Chiefs. This is fascinating as I'm pulling up the receiving props. You have Travis Kelce and Xavier Worthy, both pretty high. Like, in all honesty, they have pretty high props. Hollywood Brown, pretty high. Then you get down to the other guys. Juju is over 15.5 yards. Noah Gray is over 11.5 yards. DeAndre Hopkins is over 11.5 yards. Samaje Perine over 7.5, and the two running backs at 6.5, 4.5. They're all at about 1.5, regardless of what their yardage is. So two catches. I don't know that I detect it, but some of these yardages, doesn't it feel like a game where the Chiefs are going to get pretty multiple? I think there are a lot of 11-yard receiving props that are pretty, like, give me a Noah Gray, give me a DeAndre Hopkins, because the Chiefs have had 2 weeks to scheme things up for specific players to attack specific defenses. And just like they did with Juju last week, I absolutely think they're going to do some of that this week. And that's the kind of thing. Like, I don't think, what was it? The first game the Chiefs played against the Texans, it was like, this is Kelce all over it, right? It's all over. This is a Kelce game. It's screaming at us. And then you had that with Xavier Worthy. I don't see that with the Eagles. And we haven't the whole time. Like, I don't think there's an obvious, like, oh, this is a blank game for any Chiefs offensive skill player. I think this is one where Mahomes spreads it out and you see 7 or 8 guys catch a ball in this game. I just, that's the way it feels to me.
Going back to those props, I mean, I know you mentioned Hopkins, and I do like that, and you mentioned Noah Gray. Juju, for me, at, what'd you say, over 11.5 for
15
Juju?
15.5.
I even like that for over 15.5 for Juju.
You're probably going to need 2 catches for that, maybe one long one. But, yeah, I would take the yardage over the catches for sure.
I think that, to your point, I mean, I think that it will be spread out quite a bit. I think that that's the way that the Chiefs would prefer to play offensively, is spread the ball around to multiple receivers. You know, really outside of the divisional round against the Texans, when Mahomes peppered Travis Kelce and he had, what, 7 catches and 100 and some yards receiving, really, like, that's kind of been the MO of the Chiefs, is to spread the ball around to multiple guys. Yeah. And so I think that we'll probably see something like that similar on Sunday.
So against the Texans, they did have a lot of guys targeted, but really the receiving work was done by 3 players, Kelce, Worthy, and Gray. Like, it was crazy how much they funneled that in. And what's even crazier about it, they didn't throw the ball very much in that game, to be fair. Only 25 throws for Mahomes in that game. You go then to the Buffalo game where Mahomes threw it, same, 26 times, right? 26 times. It was funneled to Worthy, as we thought it would be. Felt like a Worthy game. They were, to me, they were predictable. And we did. It was like, go Kelce big against the Texans. And then against the Bills, go Worthy big against the Bills. And both of those things happened. I don't think that's going to happen in this game. I think as they target a lot of these guys, and they certainly did more of that against Buffalo, where you had, I believe it was 8 players with receptions, I think we're going to see more of that, but I don't think it's going to be like 8 guys just get like a catch. I think we'll see that. I don't know that I see any of the receivers for the Chiefs. Let's call it. It's hard to say that with Kelce, but I don't think we're going to see anybody with more than like 5 catches, probably more like a bunch of guys with 4, 3, and 2 catches, something like that. I do think it'll look a little bit different. And this is a good thing for the Chiefs. The Eagles are good enough defensively where they're probably going to key in on some things, and it just feels like the Chiefs are going to rely on all of those other players that they finally have at their disposal to pick apart the Eagles in a you know, short passing.
Yeah.
You know, what I don't even know that I think they're going to take a lot of shot plays. I think the creativity comes in formations and those kinds of things. So look at some of those. Those are interesting bets.
I actually kind of like a couple of the touchdown prop bets, too, as a dart throw. Like, you look at like DeAndre Hopkins or Juju Smith-Schuster, Noah Gray. Those three guys are plus 3,000 anytime touchdown scores. Like, I like those as a dart throw because you go back to past Super Bowls. I mean, remember a season ago, Mecole Hardman caught the game-winning touchdown. Like, Mecole Hardman was way down the depth chart at that point as a wide receiver. 2 years ago when they played the Eagles in the Super Bowl, it was Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore, you know, getting into the end zone. Like, those guys were scoring touchdowns, and they weren't wide receiver one either. Like, that's kind of what the Chiefs have done, at least in previous Super Bowls, is getting the ball to guys further down the depth chart. I don't know if I would go quite as far down as like a Justin Watson, although he did catch a 2-point conversion in the AFC Championship.
That wouldn't
count
as a catch.
But what I'm saying is that, like, I don't think that it's a terrible bet to do a dart throw on one of these, you know, wide receivers further down the depth chart for a touchdown.
I think you could do all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I think you could. Let's see what you could do, and still, if you went 5-1 on Hopkins, 5-1 on Gray and 6-1 on Juju, you hit any one of those three, you're making money. And that's an anytime touchdown, by the way. You want to get real squarely, you do a first touchdown. But you know, you're making money if any of those guys catch a touchdown. Yeah, I like that. I think you're onto something there. And it'll be fun. We'll get into it when we make picks on Friday. That'll be a part of what we do. Like, we'll talk about some bets that we're making. We'll put together some, you know, crazy long shot, and we'll go with PJ Glasser on that too. So we have plenty of that coming. Just wanted to, as I see no injuries being reported really for either team, I kind of got a Noah Gray itch here in this one that he's going to do something here. Certainly that he can clear 11.5 yards. That's the first one I'm sort of keying in on as I'm just still trying to browse around a little bit. Speaking of browsing around, in our next segment, there's going to be some teams browsing around because two Pro Bowl, you want to call them Pro Bowlers, Hall of Famers, apparently on the trade block in the NFL. Either one of those guys potentially fit the Chiefs. We'll come back. We'll talk about it next on Sports Daily.
Take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back into Sports Daily, everybody. Want to give a shout out and an appreciation to Crestview Country Club for being great supporters of the program. A great time to get out there. They've got the two big, fancy, top-of-the-line TrackMan simulators going right now. I'm told those are very popular as it's cold outside. And it's fun. Tommy and I have both utilized that. Go up, you have a couple beers, bars open, order some food. We actually watched some college basketball, swung the clubs for a little bit. It was a great time. All kinds of different things. If you're not a golfer, they've got other things you can do there at Crestview. It's a lot of fun. The pool in the summertime, we talk about. So give them a call. It's a great time to join if you've ever thought about it, because you can probably get some good deals this time of year. So give them a call. We appreciate their support of the program. By the way, speaking of cold and the weather, be careful. If you got into your car this morning in your garage and you're driving, be real careful when you get out of your car, because the concrete is slick as hell out there right now. Like, everything's got a light sheet of ice on it. So not only drive safe, walk safe. I had to do some stuff last night, Tommy, and I totally biffed it. Ah. Like, it was slick, like, yeah, just totally biffed it. And it was like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah. The roads coming in this morning weren't bad at the time, but I know that, like, especially on the highways and rush hour and all of that, I mean, the roads aren't busy when I come in, so they really wasn't bad. But I've heard, like, Kellogg is rough right now, and the interstates are tough. So take it slow, take it easy. As soon as temperatures warm up above freezing, it's going to get better pretty quickly, but we still probably have a couple of hours to go on that. So make sure you just take it easy and be safe.
You're right in that range right now of when something bad can happen that you didn't, because you just didn't know, and it's
right.
It's, I don't know what the temperature is right now. 30. My watch says 30, 31. Yeah. So you're right on that fringe area. So just be careful out there, everybody. Don't be like me and slip and fall. And certainly be careful in your car.
Got to get you a life alert bracelet or necklace or whatever. That way you fall in and you can't get up and somebody can come to your aid.
The circumstances of last night were not, it wasn't something like this is old man talking. This is not the time or the place for the story, but I owe you a story about that. But a part of that was me slipping and falling.
Man, you've been, I will say, and I know people don't, I don't know the story. They don't know the story. You've been selling it to me for over 12 hours now.
Well, listen,
I'm on the edge of my seat. I hope it lives up to the bill.
I'm going to spin a tale. I am my grandpa's grandson whose favorite line was don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. You know, that was always his motto. So you can build one up a little bit, especially when you're telling the adventures of that. And I will do that. Not here yet. I will later, probably, but not yet. All right. Anyway, not to be a tease. We come back to Sports Daily here. We talked about right before. So the NFL gets this 2-week gap before the Super Bowl. And the NFL always does a good job of being relevant, right? Whether it's Goodell talking about how many games are going to play, how many games are going to play overseas, whether it's, you know, people fanning the flames of a referee conspiracy, whatever it is, people talk about the league all the time. Well, the last couple of days, we've seen it for on-the-field stuff, and it's that two Pro Bowl caliber, all pro caliber players now, and two guys that are going to be in the conversation for the Hall of Fame. One of them almost certainly will be, and the other maybe. Cooper Kupp and Myles Garrett are both being floated out there. Cooper Kupp, because apparently, according to Cooper Kupp, the Rams want to move him. Myles Garrett, because he wants to be moved. But you talk about two like high impact type players. I don't know how much Cooper Kupp has left in the tank. If he comes back and gives you even close to what he's capable of when he's at his prime, he's got a lot. I mean, it's going to be highly impactful. But certainly Myles Garrett, who's in the conversation for this league's best defensive player, would be wildly, wildly impactful potentially. And we'll watch this, Tommy, because certainly Garrett, lesser degree Cooper Kupp, unless he finds a fountain of youth. But those are needle-moving, difference-making type players that could push a team over the edge next year.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, because both scenarios are entirely different, I mean, I think that you could probably get Cooper Kupp for less than, I mean, obviously, than what it's going to take to get Myles Garrett. I mean, that's a given. But because the Rams are wanting to move Cooper Kupp, they're going to be pretty willing, I think, to make a deal with the team that wants him. And I think a lot of that... he's been injury prone. We know the way that receivers typically are on the other side of 30. That's where Cooper Kupp is right now. But really, I think a lot of it for me is the ascension of Puka Nacua as the main target, the main wideout for the Rams. And that sort of relegated Cooper Kupp when healthy, you know, to being that savvy veteran. And there's a role for that for sure, but probably not at the price tag that the Rams are paying for him. So to me, that it makes sense. I think that there are teams out there that could absolutely utilize Cooper Kupp in a way where he could have a couple of more productive seasons. But you're right. I mean, the most impactful out of the two is clearly Myles Garrett, because he can go from day one and be, I think, an immediate difference maker that can take your defense to greatness. I mean, he can take your defense to a level where, you know, I think whatever team he goes to, you have to look at as a championship type caliber defense, where Cooper Kupp can be a nice piece in your offense for sure. But Myles Garrett is going to be, you know, could potentially be a catalyst for whatever team he goes to.
Cooper Kupp's an issue is going to be his contract, I think, as much as anything else.
Sure.
I think there are a lot of teams that would like to take a chance with Cooper Kupp. He's got a contract to clear, which is what the Rams are trying to do. I don't know that anybody's going to come in and overpay for Cooper Kupp. I think there are a lot of teams that will overpay for Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett's got, I believe it's 2 years left of control on his deal. So even if you can't get him to commit to some kind of extension, which of course teams that trade for him will want to start there, but even if you can't get him for 2 years, that's going to be an interesting market. I think, honestly, every single team in football, hey, Mavericks, this is how you trade a generational talent. Okay. every team in football will be interested in Myles Garrett. The Browns don't want to trade Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett wants to be traded.
Yeah.
And so now you have a bidding process, essentially, where every team would like to have Myles Garrett. He plays a premium position and might be the best at it in football. So who's willing to pay the most to get him? Who can afford to do it? I think you start with the Lions. Him and Aiden Hutchinson, you kidding me? I think you start there. I think you look at a team like the Cowboys. If they could do anything to try and if you're going to ride it out with Dak, what if you put him with Micah Parsons, right? If you're the Kansas City Chiefs, what the hell does a first-round pick mean to you if you can go get Myles Garrett? You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what the team is. You can make a case for every team in football being in the Myles Garrett business. Now, how close teams are to contention is probably more about how willing they are to trade multiple firsts, which it almost certainly will take. And that's what makes it the most interesting, Tommy, because I think you're going to see really good teams more willing to trade that kind of capital than you are the teams that have the capital the Browns want, right? How many teams that might be in position to either have a good draft pick this year or look like they may have better draft picks would be willing to use them to go get Garrett? There will be some. Again, the Cowboys, there will be some, but not as many as probably picking at likely the end of the first rounds. Like if I asked you right now, Tommy, you're the Chiefs, you're Brett Veach. Myles Garrett's on the market, cost you 2 first-round picks. Right now, let's not think about the financial implications of that. We will go down that road in just a second. But if it was just your next 2 first-round picks and a third somewhere, whatever, you doing that deal?
All things being equal, if we're not talking financials, yeah, I would do that deal for sure.
Absolutely.
That being said, though, the financial, we can't ignore that. Like, that's a major, major part of it. I think that takes the Chiefs out of the picture at that point. Because
No. I do too. But I just mean, like, willing to trade the draft cap.
No, I think so. Yeah, I would.
I think most teams would be willing to do that. So then you have to take in the financials. Okay, what does that cost you, though? You got 2 years of control of Myles Garrett. So here's why the Chiefs would be interesting. Could you afford to do it over that 2-year stretch? Because I think that answer matters too. Like if you're not even talking about, you know, having him for a long time, because I think, you know, are you, even if it was 2 first-round picks for 2 years of Myles Garrett, would you do that? I think you'd think about it, especially if they win this Super Bowl.
But I also think, because remember, Myles Garrett is the one that's asking for this trade, and so he's going to be in the driver's seat. And I think part of it, if I'm Myles Garrett, part of it is whatever team trades for me, I want an extension. Like, I want you to restructure my contract right away.
Yeah.
I don't want it to just be 2 years and then I'm doing this again. Like, restructure my contract, extend me long term. And again, I think that probably takes the Chiefs out of it.
What? Okay. And again, like, understand this is totally Wednesday of Super Bowl week. Absolute speculation and fun. Not advocating. Don't get your feelings hurt, Chiefs fans, as we explore these things. What if I told you it cost you the ability to sign George Karloftis long term? So you have Garrett. You might have them both for a couple of years, but you know that if you do this, Karloftis walks as a free agent.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, it's for sure an upgrade in your defense. And I love George Karloftis, but every team is going to have that conversation because you bring in a Myles Garrett right away. It's an upgade for anybody.
These are the conversations you have defense, to have.
Right. And so I get it. And I get having those hypothetical, you know, type conversations. It does run counter to the way Brett Veach operates. Now, that being said,
I don't know that it does. They did this for Frank Clark. They literally did the same thing for Frank Clark. They traded a first-round pick for him and then made him the highest-paid defensive player in football.
But their financial – I'd have to go back and look. Their financial situation, I think, then they had more flexibility than I think that they do now to be able to make something like that happen, because there are already these conversations about, you know, are you going to be able to re-sign certain guys like Trey Smith? And I know they were able to get Creed Humphreys locked up and all of that. But, you know, there are those conversations that are happening now because you have to pick and choose. There was all of – I mean, go back to – all of the drama with Chris Jones, who's a foundational piece of this Chiefs team, and the amount of time it took for him to get a new contract, and he sat out, and like all the drama surrounding that. So things have changed since, when was that, 2019, when they traded for Frank Clark and then extended him? Like, we're talking 5 years, 6 years down the line. Things financially are different now for the Chiefs, where they've got to try to find a way to make all these different pieces fit. And I do think that that does run counter to Brett Veach. That being said, though, man, it'd be amazing to watch Chris Jones and Myles Garrett in the same on the same
and
defense.
Karloftis. And Aminahue.
That would be, it's like an abundance of riches at that point. That would be incredible. I just think it's extremely unlikely that that happens.
I think it's unlikely, too. Again, full disclosure, we're just having fun in Super Bowl week exploring, because guys like Myles Garrett don't become available. Like, they just don't. And so if he is, like, we're just having fun.
And you know what? Another team that I look at, because I do think, and I've seen this speculated around, I do think the Browns are going to be a lot more agreeable to trades from NFC teams than teams in the AFC, for sure, right?
Hey, sorry, Browns, it doesn't matter at the moment. You tied your horse to Deshaun Watson. They're not going to be in contention soon enough for that.
But I do think that there is. I think that that's a legitimate thing to think about. Like, it's not like they wouldn't trade him to an AFC team. It just might cost an AFC team a little bit more to get him as opposed to NFC. But you mentioned the Lions for sure. I'm on board.
They'll be the most.
I'm on board with that. But don't discount a team like the Commanders, because if you go back to I think of the way that the Texans operated after the rookie season that CJ Stroud had. They went out and they tried to load up, and it obviously the Texans, they made the playoffs, but they faltered at certain times throughout the season. But they really tried to bolster up the team around CJ Stroud after his rookie year. I could see Washington doing the same thing around Jaden Daniels.
Absolutely, I think they're probably at a quick hip shot, they'd be in the top five for me, most likely to make that happen. Again, the Chiefs would probably be in the back half or the back third. But I'm going to give you one more scenario, just because I think this is fun. You trade for Garrett, but it will most likely cost you Trey Smith. Trey Smith's probably gone anyway. I think that's the general consensus now, which sucks, and we'll approach that in the offseason. But if he's gone, whatever. So then I'll give you one more here. What about you get Garrett, but it costs you Trent McDuffie, who's going to be a very high ticket free agent.
That's really tough. I don't like that you're posing these to me, because I don't have an answer. Like, I love Trent McDuffie.
I know. That's why this is fun.
And I know Myles Garrett is, cream of the crop and all of that. Man, that would be hard. If you're telling me that I would have to lose both Trey Smith and Trent McDuffie to get Myles Garrett.
You're probably losing Trey Smith anyway, so right. I don't think that's fair. We'll just say McDuffie.
That's hard. Because I also think about the other corners that the Chiefs have, and I don't have nearly the level of confidence in those corners as I do Trent McDuffie. Like, while you're, as a whole, upgrading your defense totally, you're downgrading your secondary, and that's tough. That's hard to do.
I agree. I don't know that I would do it if I knew it would make me not have the ability to sign McDuffie. And at some point, I don't think you can carry the contracts of Jones if you had Garrett and McDuffie. I don't think you could. Now, you could see if Jones would restructure. You can massage and maneuver and do all these things. You got to look at the other side, too. Like, The Chiefs can afford to be aggressive because they've always been able to say, we got Mahomes and Kelsey, right? We got Mahomes and Kelsey. Can you say that 4 years down the road? I don't know. It's fun. Again, the Chiefs are not going to be anywhere near the top of this list. Nowhere near, because of the financial piece. I think they'd be as willing as anybody for the draft capital piece. It's the financial piece that gets really hard, and that's going to be hard for a lot of teams. We'll see what happens here. There are also going to be teams that, probably feel like they're closer than they are, as you mentioned, that Garrett may not want to go to because they're not necessarily Super Bowl contenders. Why wouldn't the Atlanta Falcons sell the farm for Myles Garrett? There are a lot of them.
Could the Niners? The Niners could be a team that maybe
I don't know if they, and I don't
can you
know
imagine
these
Nick Bosa and Myles Garrett
standings
together? That'd be fun.
God, it'd be fun for who?
fun for them, fun for their fans.
The 49ers. It'd not be fun at all. It'd be terrible. But it's at the, what about the Bills? Why not the Bills? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why not the Bills? If you're the Bills and you just need that last little shove, why not the Ravens? There's a lot of these teams. Why not the Texans, who already have a good pass rush? Heck yeah. You're one of these teams. Here's what probably happens. One of the teams with a young, inexpensive quarterback makes this move. Enter the Texans, enter the Broncos, really enter any of these teams.
The Commanders.
The Bears. Enter any of these teams. I'm going to tell you who I think makes this trade. Just right off the top, the Bears.
I just said the Bears. Garrett, I think that I can see.
Oh,
that.
You did? I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I think the Bears make, I think Myles Garrett's going to be a Bear. Just a, like a whatever vibe, gut feeling, whatever you want to call
that,
it.
That makes sense because that division is so good. And the Bears, you know, they started the season hot and then fell off, but they've got to try to keep pace in that arms race in that division with the other three teams. You know, and I think that would be, that's a key addition right there for a Bears team to try to surround Caleb Williams. I like that a lot.
It makes sense. Anyway, just having fun here. Super Bowl week. Players like him don't go on the block very often. They do sometimes, but not very often. We'll come back. We'll talk a little KU. Sharia Slaughter, our KU insider, joins next.
Dude, you gotta hear this. Hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. We are rocking and rolling on the Wednesday of Super Bowl week. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you. Glad to be with you on this Wednesday. Coming off a couple of college basketball games that we're happy about last night in K-State and Wichita State. Expecting Sharia Slaughter to hop on here in just a couple of minutes. We'll work on that connection while we continue making our way through talking fun and ridiculous and silly trade rumors, because why not? It's we got a couple of days till the game, and one of the best players in football is apparently on the market. A couple other NFL headlines that have made their way through the Super Bowl week as all the players are sort of out there talking, and they, you know, go and they visit all these different things on Radio Row. J.J. McCarthy saying he wants a fair chance. The Vikings quarterback situation is interesting, Tommy. Sam Darnold cost himself a lot of money over the last couple of weeks. If you're the Vikings right now, how do you handle this? I mean, I think the best case scenario is Darnold on like a 1-year deal or like tagging him, because the only risk is you don't know you don't know how quickly he's able to bounce back. It's not an easy decision. Even if you're Team Darnold or Team McCarthy, it's not an easy decision. On one hand, if you're Team McCarthy, how healthy is he? You know, if you're Team Darnold, how expensive is he? So it's a really interesting situation there. Whereas like Atlanta, who, you know, we thought might be in this situation, theirs is much easier, right? Kirk Cousins is hurt. We find out his arm is hurt. They've seen what they want. They've already turned the page. Now they just got to deal with it. I don't even think the Vikings know what they would prefer to happen here.
Well, I think what they would prefer to have happen, I don't know how realistic it is, but they would prefer to do what they were going to do last year, but do it next year. Like that, they would prefer to have Sam Darnold on a 1-year deal and then bring J.J. McCarthy along. And at some point, potentially during the season, you make that handoff. You make that changeover to J.J. McCarthy. I think that's what, I mean, because that's what they were setting up to do initially anyway. Like, they had Sam Darnold in house. J.J. McCarthy looked pretty good. And, you know, I'm not convinced that they were going to ride with J.J. McCarthy to start the season. Like, I think that they were probably going to bring him along with a guy like Sam Darnold, kind of showing him the ropes a little bit. And it could have very well been the third game of the year. It could have been the ninth game. Who knows? But of course, McCarthy goes down with that injury and it becomes Darnold's job. I think that what their best case scenario is and what they would prefer to have happen is to do what they were going to do this season, but just do it next year.
Yeah.
I don't know how realistic that is because, you know,
I don't either. His market value is pretty high.
It is. But again, I think the best thing for the Vikings for next season is that he did see his value go down over the last couple of games.
Sure. But he has an agent and anybody worth their salt's going to get out there and be like, look at this season. Like, are you kidding me? Look at this season. We got to pay that. If he takes a 1 year deal, it's going to be for a lot of dang money. Like, if it's a 1 year deal and I'm Sam Darnold, it better be $50 million. Start there, you know, like, because otherwise, now I want a 2 or 3 year deal.
But it also depends upon what other suitors are out there for him. And I know that there totally are, but like, what kind of market is he going to have? And not just for a 1 year deal with other teams. Like, are there other teams that are going to be willing to sign him to a multi-year deal? I don't know the answer to that.
I think there are more teams that would be willing to build and take a shot with him on a 1 year deal than there would be to commit to him for 2 or 3 years.
So I think that really the Vikings have to just beat that. I don't think they're going to have to compete with a lot of multi-year deals with Sam Darnold. They're just going to have to probably commit to pay him for next season if they want to have that, you know, that whole transition from Darnold to McCarthy. And I think that's the best case scenario if they're willing to pay up.
We're doing fun scenarios here. You're the Titans. And you decide, you know what, Abdul Carter's too generational potentially. We don't want to take the quarterback, which there's some building momentum for this, by the way. We don't want to take one of the quarterbacks. Let's take Abdul Carter because he's that kind of guy. We're going to take him. What do you do at quarterback next year? What about Sam Darnold? What about Sam Darnold either for a year, which probably makes less sense, but what about 2 years at like 22, 23, 24 million? Do that if you're the Titans. Let him sort of bridge the gap while you build around and then eventually find your quarterback. I think that makes some sense.
Maybe. Or, you know, assuming he wants to play, I don't know how realistic this is, Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. Could Aaron Rodgers go to Tennessee? Yeah. Like, he could still be that bridge guy, and you probably would rather have him for a season than Sam Darnold. Just solely,
would you?
Maybe
at cost, but what's Rodgers? Rodgers ain't going to play for nothing.
I know, but I'm talking holistically. Like, can you imagine the excitement and energy around the Titans for a season if you've got Aaron Rodgers coming in? Like, the ticket sales and the jersey sales. Like, you're going to get a lot more of that if Aaron Rodgers is your QB for a year than Sam Darnold coming in.
But, man, Sam Darnold.
And they both will accomplish the same thing. They'll both be bridge quarterbacks to the future.
Yeah, maybe. I'd rather take a shot with the potential upside of Darnold, who's not that old. How old? Let me look at his age real quick. Yeah, he's 27.
Yeah.
What if last year wasn't an aberration? You know, like Rodgers, there's nothing left after, like, his ceiling, like all that stuff. What if in this world of possibility, this former high pedigree, high round pick who's always had, you know, all the raw skills, what if last year wasn't a mirage? What if he's actually pretty good? You know what I mean? Like, wouldn't you rather, if you're going to do a bridge anyway, like if you were a team like the Titans and Darnold came out and came, and he's not going to replicate what he did last year because he doesn't have, you know, Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson and all these weapons. But what if he's still like, what if he comes out and you're like, yo, that was actually for real. Like, he is good. Like, he's a good quarterback, like a Kirk Cousins sort of. Then I think if you've got him, you're like, well, hell, let's just make this guy our quarterback for the next little while.
I think,
couldn't do that with Rodgers.
Yeah, but I do think that that's going to have to be, in my opinion, a decision that teams make now. Like, because I think that Sam Darnold probably views himself as that kind of guy, as he should. And so if I'm him, I'm going to try to lobby for a multi-year deal. I don't know. Then there might not be a market for it. But I certainly think that there are quarterback needy teams out there that will say, hey, Sam Darnold, like, we liked what you did for the majority of last season. We're going to take a flyer on you to be our quarterback. I don't think that you need necessarily another prove-it year from Sam Darnold because he had a prove-it year just this season. I mean, look at a team like the Raiders, for example. You know, and you've brought in Pete Carroll and you've brought in Chip Kelly as your offensive coordinator. If I'm the Raiders and I'm looking for a quarterback right away to be plugged into that offense, and after watching what Sam Darnold did for the Vikings for the vast majority of this season, why not offer him a 2 or 3 year deal at the age of 27? Like, I think that there would be potentially a market for him on a multi-year deal to where you know, if he's going to be a bridge quarterback, that's only going to be if there's not a market for him to get to be signed for 2 or 3 years.
So that's my point, though. Like with him, rather than the 1 year thing that the Vikings are going to want, I think there is more. I think there should be more of an appetite to do it because he's not old and he did just give you what he gave you. And he's shown glimpses of that over his career. Right. So, like, that's where a team in it's any of these teams that are, you know, the Giants would make sense. Like, really, any of these teams. If you're willing to go a couple, 2-3 years, just in the off chance, like if he'll do it for 20 something million and the off chance that last year was not an aberration, you've hit a home run at that point. Like you have knocked it out of the park. Absolutely.
And you know what? It's not just Sam Darnold. Like, look at a guy like Russell Wilson, who was trying to basically save his career and he played better in Pittsburgh, honestly, than he did for Denver. And I think has built up a little bit, at least, of a market potentially for himself moving forward. You know, he's not going to get big time major mega money, but I think at least for the last couple of years of his career, he could carve out a nice area. That's going to be kind of the same thing, I think. It's what the Falcons wanted to do with Kirk Cousins. That didn't really work out. So it could go one way or the other. Another success story in that regard is Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield went into Tampa as kind of a prove it thing, and he's been able to solidify himself as a viable and really good starter in the league in Tampa Bay. So there are success stories in it with teams doing this sort of thing where you don't necessarily, like, if you're the Tennessee Titans, have to go and draft a quarterback right away.
Yeah, it's he's a really, really, really interesting, really interesting player. There are a lot of those. Trey Smith, by the way, I'm just looking at a list of potential free agents out there. CBS Sports has T. Higgins as the top guy. Not a huge surprise. They have Trey Smith number two as a guard. How often do you see that? A guard that high. He's so good, but it's too bad that it's likely not going to be able to work out with the Chiefs. But he's up there. It's a good class. A lot of good defensive players on the list. Pretty good wide receivers, honestly, on the list. Actually, some like really good wide receivers. The next quarterback on the list is Justin Fields. He's not going to get a big deal. He'll get a smaller deal. But again, a guy that maybe you bridge with. He honestly makes more sense in a one-year bridge than Darnold does. I think if you go for Darnold, you try to get the best of him and get him on the cheap rather than that, you know, 1 year. I just don't think he's – bottom line, I don't think he's coming back to the Vikings. I don't think it makes sense.
By the way,
I think you just turn the page.
Not to like turn the corner and go a different direction here, but it is really nice. We've gotten this indication. It was Travis Kelce on – Monday, and it was Andy Reid yesterday. Both of those guys shooting down any kind of speculation about them retiring. That's nice that's quieted down, you know, early on in the week. So it's not something that's kind of hanging over the Super Bowl. Cause I remember last year it was like, man, like Andy Reid could ride off into the sunset. It actually took, I think, him on the podium after the Chiefs had won, saying that he was going to be back for that talk to quiet down. So at least they're getting it out of the way early this week. And so we don't have to, you know, like speculate on that moving forward. That was a nice change in the midst of all of this trade talk and free agency talk and all of that in Super Bowl week. At least we know that, you know, at least all indications are that both of those guys are coming back.
Why wouldn't they? They love it. What if they win? I thought about this. We'll get into this maybe tomorrow because we just have a couple minutes here. The Chiefs and Eagles sit there. What about either of these teams, Tommy? No matter what happens in the game in the offseason, makes you think they can't be right back there next year. I mean, they've been there two out of the last three. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and there's a lot to be said and done, but
a lot of different. I mean, there always are a lot of moves.
There's nothing that will happen in the offseason that takes the arrow from pointing up for both of these franchises. Nothing that will happen will take that away. If obviously if Kelce and Reid return, which it sounds like they will, Nothing's going to point, like, it's all going to still be pointing up for both of these franchises.
Yeah. It becomes.
How does that make you feel if you're the Bills or the Ravens?
Well, it becomes a puzzle. Like, how do you piece together the other parts of this team in the offseason? Like, you know, does Hollywood Brown come back for another year? It was kind of a 1-year prove it deal for him, and he was gone the majority of the year. So do you see him for another year? Do they bring Kareem Hunt back, you know, on another potentially 1-year deal? There are a lot of decisions, I think, that are even outside of the scope of like the Trey Smiths of the world and all of that, that they are impactful moves, and it's going to be interesting to see how they navigate all of that.
Yeah, Hollywood would have to re-bet on what he bet on last offseason, which is possible. But remember, they're going to get Rashee Rice back.
Yep.
And he'll serve a suspension probably in some way, form, or fashion. But they're going to have him and Worthy now. Harris pointed up. All right, we'll come back. One more segment of Sports Daily. Don't go away.